We may get into this in a little bit, but we may start with it a little bit, and then we may come back to it. But if y'all would turn to John 12. John 12, 12 through 13. We'll be reading. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." And that's where we take today is being mentioned as Palm Sunday. You can find that account in all four of the Gospels, Matthew 21, Mark 11, Luke 19. The Matthew and Mark, I don't think neither of the other three actually mentions palm trees. Two of them mention branches of trees, but this is one that mentions the palms. So that's where we get that as the Lord come in to Jerusalem. So that's most of the world today would see today as being as Palm Sunday. And then what we've been studying on is the Passover. And we'd said a little while back we may get into Brother Barry's book, this One Lamb, 3 days, 3 nights, and 7 pillars. It's been a good study. If y'all don't have this, I'm sure he can get you a copy. We had some back there at the back, but this has been really good for me. But been studying the Passover, and we'll get back into that. As we were in Exodus 12, if you want to turn back there, we'll pick back up. I don't know just exactly where we got to be honest with you, but we may pick up along about the 12th verse and start from there. So Exodus 12 and 12, and then we'll try to pull all of this together the best way that we know how. But 12 and 12. "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses, for whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel." Brother Barry, I'm going to put you on the spot. I have not been. What does that mean for the soul to be cut off? In one way, you would believe it to be death. In others, I've read that it may just be kind of as an exclusion, I guess. Do you have a thought on that? Is that, do you think that's more of a death, or is that?
No, they were just cut off.
Segregated
from the congregation of the Lord as they was fixing the exile out of their bondage, which was on the 15th, because they said if there was any kind of leaven that was found in their house, that mm-hmm. would be cut off. So those that had any type of leaven, because of what the shadow of all that meant, they couldn't exit with them.
They got left behind in Egypt.
Yeah, they would get left behind. Just like even to me, even if an Israelite hadn't applied the blood,
amen,
they would have the death of the firstborn, just like the Egyptians amen. Was, you know, because God executed that judgment. And same way with this leaven, I think just having a reference to that, they'd be left behind. They couldn't go with them.
Amen. Well, I've heard that other ways, and I thought, well, maybe I'm mistaken, but I didn't necessarily take it as a death either. But I had heard that mentioned before, and I just thought, well, you never know. Well, we're just studying this together, so you all feel free to weigh in.
What does unleavened bread
meaning not to have the yeast, which has a rising agent, and to leave out any addition added to the flour and things of that nature that would allow it to rise. And we look at Jesus as he didn't need anything added unto him. So we look at that yeast kind of being somewhat the same thing, that you wouldn't want to add anything to it. So they wanted it just that way. And we may read here in just a little bit, they were talking about the kneading troughs. And those kneading troughs that was where they would work in the flour, and they would add the yeast, and it would sit in that kneading trough, and then it would rise. And then they would keep back certain portions of that throughout as they would add that to the, what do they call that, Mary? Or some of you other women, they'd keep back a portion of that to the starter. Is that what they referred to it as? So then they would take that and add to their next batch, but you always had a little bit that you kept back, and then it would help start the next batch, and then that was how they kind of kept things going then. But that kneading trough, and like I said, we may get to that here in just a little bit, but it talked about that they had it packed up on with all their other belongings, so wasn't any need for that, because they had to be in a hurry. They had to be ready to go. But that unleavened, that was just as our bread, Sister Leanne, I think, made the other day. She made sure not to use any rising agent. She made sure not to add anything to that. Did you add any bitter herbs to that? I was just curious about that. But there is something to that. But good question, Brother Steve. That
unleavened bread too. Jesus, where he said that I am the bread of life.
Man.
Leaven, especially the new covenant, represents sin.
Amen.
A little leaven leaveth the whole lump. Well, he wasn't just the bread of life, but he was the unleavened bread of life. He was sinless.
Amen.
That unleavened was so essential on their compartment. Plus, they didn't have time to let it work either, because they had to go in haste when they did go there.
Amen. So you got my answer, and you got the better answer from Brother Barry. Good thing he's here. The 16th, and in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. So you can't do anything other than eat, is what they're saying there. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. So in the 18th, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and the 20th day of the month at that even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. All right, so I want to kind of stop there. We're going to do some jumping around here in just a little bit. But reading in Exodus chapter 12, 1 through 20, you're going to read pretty much, well, we almost read all of it there. But that's God telling Moses of the Passover. Well, then, the 21st through the 28th, it reiterates a lot of that, because it's Moses then calls the elders to tell them about it. And then in the 29th through the 42nd is when it actually happened. That's the account of when it did happen. So if you read the chapter 12 of Exodus, you're going to read it three times, and it's it's in the same arrangement, but certain things are talked about a little bit more. Certain things are talked about a little bit less. But I've heard some folks say it just seemed like the Bible repeats itself, and especially the five books of Moses, because you'll read it in Exodus, well, in this account, three times, and then you could go to Leviticus, and then you go into, well, Exodus chapter 13 talks about a little bit more of it, and then Deuteronomy 16 we'll talk about. So these books of Moses, you'll get the opportunity to read it more than once, most time. But this event, it's wanted to make sure he talked about it quite a bit. So let's go ahead and go to Leviticus chapter 23, and we want to read this. Leviticus chapter 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. So that would have consisted of three feasts that they're talking about there, and we probably won't get into all of that. I don't know enough to barely get started. But out of those three feasts, one of them is this this Passover, the day after the Passover, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. So that's the one we're going to focus on. But these holy convocations is, in short, it's like a sacred assembly. And no manner of work would be done in them other than eating. That's all that they're allowed to do. So there in 23rd and 3, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest. Now that's our typical weekly Sabbath that he's referring to there. A holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in your dwellings. Now in the fourth, these are the feast of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. So again, recognizing this is a seasonal thing, and this is done in what would be our middle of March through the middle of April. We talked about that a little bit last week. But this month that like Brother Barry said last week, the Lord had told him, on this month is going to be your first month of your year. So in different various calendars, but to the Jews, this was month number one. And over in Deuteronomy 16 and 1, I think it refers to it as Abib. We talked last week that was the month Nisan as well. Like I said, the best I could come up with on that from that was different terminology. It was more like, I'll say this. You can't find it mentioned Nisan until they'd come back from Babylon. So due to their words change, or it was just gave a different name due to being around the Babylonians or whatever else, but because you find it in the book of Nehemiah. You find it in, the book of Ruth? Does it mention it in the book of Ruth as well? So that's kind of, you won't find it in Moses' writings, I guess to say. Moses referred to it as the month of Abib, but like Barry had in his book here, he's got it mentioned as the month of Nisan, and I believe both of them to be accurate.
And that's March,
right? Half of March, half of April. Yes, ma'am, and that's based on a 29 or 29 and a half days of a Jewish calendar is how that worked. So their yearly calendar was 354 days instead of our 365. So every 2 to 3 years, or every second or third year, then they would repeat a month. So they would have an extra month to play catch up to get the 365 and a quarter days that we have. So if that helps add to the confusion, that's why and how that is. But yeah, their days is based on a 29 day. Yeah.
No wonder the Bible's so hard.
That is ready, ain't it? But the way that they based it on the moon phases, 29 to 29 and a half days. So this time frame, this spring and autumn equinox, if you will, that's when the daylight and the night is split down the middle. And so you'll have that in the spring, you'll have that in the summer. So that is why it falls in the middle of our calendar of month of March and April. So that's why it doesn't start on March the 1st. So with all of that being said, that's where the Lord did kind of make things plain and simple. In the 14th day of your month, it says in the fifth, at even is the Lord's Passover. So regardless of what day that falls on, that's Passover. If it's a Tuesday, it's a Tuesday. If it's a Thursday, it's a Thursday. But in the year of our Lord would be a Wednesday. That's when the Passover happened. That's when the Lord became our Passover, as mentioned in 1 Corinthians 5 and 7. And we may get to that in just a bit too. But understand that on the 14th day of this first month, the month of Abib, is the Lord's Passover. And the 6th, and on the 15th day of the same month, is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. Now this can get a little bit confusing too, but again, this book that Barry wrote, I think, done a really good job explaining this, because if you look at it, it consistently says you must eat unleavened bread for 7 days. Well, and it says until the 14th, not necessarily through, or I'm sorry, until the 21st, not necessarily through the 21st, says until the 21st. So that's where if you took it by the 14th day and say, well, hey, they're eating unleavened bread on the 14th, but also on the 15th. So the 15th starts the unleavened bread. So there's the feast that starts the day after. Now come the New Testament, you'll see that it's kind of combined there. So that does get a little bit difficult there. But if you look at it on the 14th, at even is the Lord's Passover. So think about it as this evening at 6 o'clock, the evening comes before the morning. And Brother Jeff's preached on that, and Brother Barry's taught on that, but the evening comes first. So at 6 p.m. this evening, if you were to think, that's going to start our Monday. So if Monday started at 6 p.m. this evening, it would last until 5:59 the following evening, right? And then at 6, it would start the next day. So what we're in right now, this, as we refer to as Sunday morning, is the ending of Sunday. Come this afternoon at sundown that it would begin Monday. That's how the Jewish calendar works. So we'll read that here in just a little bit as we go back to Exodus. But understand on the 6th, there in the 6th verse, on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat the unleavened bread. In the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work there within, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. And the 7th day is a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying. So I meant to stop there at the 8th. But let's back up to Exodus 12. We'll get back into this just a little bit. Where do we get to? Somewhere around the 18th. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whatsoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in that land. So, going back to that 14th day there, that's going to be the Passover. Now, we just read that through the 20th. Now, we're going to read the next account. This is where Moses is laying it out to the elders, the 21st through the 28th. So then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. Now, remember, the lamb was supposed to have been chosen on the 10th day. And then they're going to observe it through the killing of it on the 14th day. So you got the 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th. So you got 4 days there they're going to observe this lamb, aren't they? They're going to kill it. Which is going to be Jesus here in just a little while. There, he rode in, like what we talked about this morning, on that Palm Sunday. He comes to Jerusalem on the first day of the week. And they're going to look at this lamb, the Lamb of God, for 4 days. And then he's going to be slain as our Passover. And then he's going to be in the ground for how long? What did Jonah say? Jesus said, just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be. So he has to be in the ground for 3 days and three nights. If he's viewed for 4 days and he's in the ground for 3 days and three nights, all of this being said, Good Friday is good payday. But just as Barry had said, we're going to have him in the ground late on that Passover day. As you'll remember, he gets to the room with his with his church, with his 12 in that upper room. And that starts the day because it's of the evening. So they come in to eat of the Passover, and then that's when we have the first Lord's Supper.
So that would have really been Monday morning for them.
Yeah, if you look at it as, if you refer to their morning as their evening, their beginning of their day would have been nighttime. So they would have been walking in. Somebody's preparing the meal. Jesus and his 12 show up because that upper room is already there and prepared. And they start breaking bread somewhere during the late afternoon. We're going to say we know it to be beyond 6 o'clock, maybe 6 to 10 p.m.-ish, something like that. But then they leave that room and they go where? They go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And then he's taken, and then you have these mock trials, and he's run from one end of town to the other 2 or 3 times all during the night. So there was no sleep that night for the Lord. And then that's why the others were tired, and they kept falling asleep, right? They continually kept trying to, Lord, come back and check on them, and he'd go back and pray, and he'd come back, and they're asleep again. So all of that stuff was going on. But then by the time the morning broke, then that's when, by the third hour, he was already on the cross by the third hour, right? So if you look at it, that meaning 9 a.m., so that's towards the latter part of their day. So by noon and then 3 o'clock, he'd given up the ghost. I believe is how it went down. So there was 3 hours left in that day for him to then be taken off the cross and all of that, and then put in that Joseph Arimathea's borrowed tomb. And he would be in that tomb before it made the next day because they were not allowed to have any survey or work to be done. So they had to get it all in. That's why it had to happen there, and it had to happen on Passover. That's why if you back it up, if you're working from, we know that they got there next Sunday, as we'll hear about that. As they get there that Sunday morning look for Jesus, he's already gone. He's already been raised and gone. So
you say he was examined for 4 days. He was examined Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Christmas.
Most people look at Palm Sunday, Palm Saturday.
Yeah, because the Jewish Sabbath was actually on a Saturday.
Yeah. Saturday, not on Sunday. And Saturday was the 10th.
I'm never going to get this. I really am.
He was observed from the 10th until the 14th.
He come in Saturday morning or Saturday night. He come in our Saturday morning, which was really their Friday night.
He come in their Saturday.
Their Sabbath was on Saturday, so Saturday to Saturday is how you look at it.
Okay.
We serve the Lord on the Lord's Day on Sunday.
So he was examined there Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and then crucified on their Wednesday.
Just as the Passover lamb was observed from the 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 4 days.
Yeah.
And then on Wednesday, Passover is when he was killed.
Yeah. So whatever day that was in our world, or theirs, depending on which way you're looking at.
So Saturday with the Jewish calendar, he came in. He came into Jerusalem on the donkey on Saturday, and he was observed Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Then Wednesday, which began our Tuesday evening. Tuesday evening is when he had Passover with him, Tuesday evening. So that was already on the 14th.
I actually have tried to put this on a calendar. On an Excel calendar, I went in and robbed it off of Wind Calendars, I think it was. So I'm going to try to get that printed off and have somebody, some of y'all look over it. But then we might try to lay that out.
I mean, like when y'all, yeah, I got it. Then 2 days later, I'm sitting there looking at it by myself. I'm like, okay.
What is so confusing is, and even Daniel, it was foretold in the book of Daniel that they would try to change times. And whenever we started going by the Roman calendar versus if we had just stayed with the Jewish calendar, man, you could get this a lot simpler. Because what's really difficult is get a mindset that the evening and then the morning was the first day. Because our mindset is midnight to midnight. Well, biblically, it's evening to morning. So we just say 6 o'clock in the evening begins the next day. So in Daniel, it was predicted that they would try to change the times. And I believe with all my heart when they went from Jewish calendar, and we've had like 2 or 3 different Roman calendars that would use the Grecian calendar and then the Roman calendar. That's what the confusion is. It's hard to get mindset to the biblical calendar. But when you really can get your headset that
I think I can get that part is the part that really their Sunday was our Saturday. But, and that's when I can't get my days to count out right. Like I think I get the morning started in the evening, but then when I'm trying to.
Yeah, if you look at it from their calendar, what I'm telling you, you got to back up a day. If you're going to do the Saturdays, you got to back it up a day because we're saying he's risen, and by the time we get here Sunday morning, which what makes it the Lord's day, because he would have rose on their Sabbath, on their Saturday, and he would have been gone before they got there, before Mary got there, because she comes looking for him, and he's already gone. And she wasn't able to do that on the Sabbath. She had to wait till the Sunday. So she couldn't, it wouldn't have been right for them to have come and been around the graves and dead bodies and all of that type of stuff. So they stayed away from that on the Sabbath. So that's why she had to wait till Sunday, our Lord's Day, and we say he's already risen. That's why when we get here at Easter Sunday, and there's some that have the sunrise services and things like that, but he was already gone. He was already risen. But theirs would have started like
Saturday at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
So Nahum would still be part of their Sabbath, which is our Sabbath.
Yeah. They would well
just
okay.
The middle of the day, Sabbath started Friday.
Yeah, their Saturday would start the yeah. That's right. So last night would have started our Sunday. And they're using their calendar. So their Saturday would have started our Friday, like she said.
Their Sabbath ended last night at 6 o'clock.
Yes. And then ours. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So.
She got it.
I used to do that in algebra class all the time.
Yeah.
So we'll try to put this, we'll try to make a calendar. Maybe that's what we'll work on. We'll try to do like a Jewish Saturday to Saturday, and we'll try to do a Christian Sunday to Sunday or something like that. Maybe that'd help us all out, because I get confused and I get talking about it. Well, let's get back. We'll get back to the Passover, and then we'll leave it to y'all and Barry to sort through the rest of this. How about that? So, on starting at chapter 12, 21 through 28, just recognize this is Moses talking to the elders there. We might have read some of this. We'll go ahead and hit it again. But in the 22nd, you shall take. Let's go ahead and start 21st. 12:21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. So this would have been on Passover day. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the 2 side posts. And with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. Now notice this in the 22nd. That's not, you won't read that in the verses before. We know that they're going to put blood on the doorpost, on the side, and on the top. It doesn't mention before this and until now about using this hyssop to do it with. And it doesn't say anything about dipping that in the blood of the basin. And it just says to strike the doorpost and the upper doorpost. And now it's referring to and strike the lintel and the 2 side posts. So they're referring to the upper post as the lintel with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. That wasn't mentioned either until now. So now it's, hey, not only do you're supposed to kill it, you're supposed to take the blood, you're supposed to hit that on the doorpost, and you're supposed to go in and not come out. Now, this is where that meat offering is going to take place. That's where this unleavened bread is going to all be taking place, and then whatever's not eat is going to be burnt. It said it can't last till in the morning. And they're actually going to stay up through the night And in one of the other books, maybe it was over there in Leviticus, it talks about how they would stay up. This wouldn't last till morning. So you can kind of see that, how the Lord stayed up all throughout the night as well.
When I look at that, I see that I'm sealed until the day morning he comes back. Once I come
to
the door, I'm not
coming out. Amen.
I'm under the blood.
That's right.
I'm not coming out till morning.
Amen. Yep. God bless.
Yep. That also,
and morning's coming.
That also calls back to Exodus chapter 12, verse 10.
Yep.
When they are speaking about doing the Lord's, which would be the Passover, which references back to the Lord's Supper.
Yep.
That you're supposed to burn whatever remains.
That's right. You're supposed to burn it all up, ain't it? Yep. Amen. That's right. Yep. So all of that follows suit. Now going into the 23rd. Thank y'all. That was both of y'all. That's good stuff. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Make no mistake, he will be coming in. No matter what else you put, you can varnish it, stain it, whatever you want to do, but if it ain't of the blood, he's coming in. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshipped. So that was Moses telling the elders. Now in the 29th through the 42nd. And it came to pass, this is when it happened. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. And Pharaoh rose up the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. So it said every house, every single house in Egypt was affected by this. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get ye forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord as ye have said. Now, remembering that Passover had just started, at the twilight, how it's referred to. We'll call it 6 o'clock. So that's just happened. At midnight is when this destroyer came in and every house was affected. Great cries went out. So somewhere down in the night, as we refer to it, they called for Moses and Aaron, get in here, and then he tells them to get out. And I think they started packing up right away right then, and that's when they all start moving during the Passover. This is the Passover. This would have been somewhere like Wednesday in our calendar, Tuesday in theirs. Because remember, the Passover's got to come before he's in the ground, 3 days and 3 nights. So that's why we put it on our Wednesday. So he said, children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. So that's pertinent information when, yeah, we've heard of the unleavened bread, but we see that it has to be unleavened because they don't have their kneading troughs there to where they could have even leavened it. In short, they've already got it packed up. It's on their back, and it said being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed, this is something to see here, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. Now hold that thought and continue reading. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. Any other time you read in the Bible and it talks about one being spoiled, it's after warfare. They've went in, They've destroyed a certain city, and they would take the spoils. They would take all of their goods. They would take anything that had value, and they would take that with them. Ain't that funny how the Lord works? They didn't have any way to have made the Egyptians to let them go, but the heavy hand of the Lord, the powerful hand of the Lord, made them victorious in this battle, and they didn't have to go in and fight anyone for these spoils. They merely went in and asked for it, and the Egyptians gave it to them. Here's everything we got. Get out. Y'all got to go. We don't want any part of you being here, and take our jewels and take our, the Egyptians, jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. That's their clothing. They give them clothes, gold and silver, and said, get out. And the Lord allowed them to be spoiled by the Israelites, the Hebrew children, that had no way they could have done these things. No way could they have even been let out of there, let alone to have taken things of value from the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside children. Now, like what we've all kind of alluded to lately, if there's 600,000 on foot that were men beside the children. So even if you were to say, okay, we're going to take that as context as men, as 600, and then if there are wives that are 600, and then the women or the kids, if they just had one apiece, were 1.8 million. Now, if you were to just say, hey, you know what, I think when they say men, that means of mankind, and it would have meant men and women, and well, it still wouldn't have counted the kids, so you're still at probably 1.2 million in the least. I think in the absolute least, you're at 1.2 million. At the most, you're somewhere around 2 million people.
In the book of Numbers, it verifies it was 603,000 men of the age of 20 and over.
Amen.
Not counting the Levite tribe, not counting the women, not counting the children under 20 years old. So you're right. It'd be a very possible 2 million people.
Amen. And they're taking their, in the next verse, mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. Now, how in the world does that, could you imagine how slow that's going? How, I mean, it just like ants moving on the ground, you know, just.
It's trying to get two kids to church.
Amen.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
And history bears, I mean, people that don't believe God, don't believe the Bible, history bears all this out.
Amen.
It happened.
Yes.
History records that. I mean.
Amen.
That's a miracle in itself.
That's right. That's right. Provided all of that. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victuals. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years, and it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass, recognize that, even the selfsame day it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. So that verifies it to me. That was all the day of Passover. All of that happened that selfsame day there. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover, there shall no stranger eat thereof. So that was the Passover. That's going to be coming this week, and we're about to run out of time. Would there be any other thoughts or any other good questions? It's good study.